Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio. As a veteran, accessing quality healthcare is essential to maintaining your well-being. However, for many veterans, navigating the VA healthcare system can be a challenging and overwhelming experience. According to the Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA healthcare system is the largest integrated healthcare system in the U.S., with over 9 million veterans enrolled in VA healthcare. And while the VA provides comprehensive medical care to eligible veterans, there are often long wait times, confusing processes, and a lack of information that can make it difficult to receive timely and effective care. I'm one of the veterans who is enrolled in VA healthcare. I've used their services for my primary care doctor, audiology, pain management, health, mental health, physical therapy, prescriptions, and even emergency care. And like a lot of veterans, I've had good experiences and bad experiences with the VA. To be fair, though, I've had both good and bad experiences with private providers, too. So I think the VA gets a bad name in the veteran community because of some highly publicized cases of mistreatment of veterans. And I'm not trying to say that these cases are justified, but I'd encourage you to not totally dismiss the VA because of maybe a few bad apples. For example, I went to the VA when I was having difficulty breathing, shortness of breath. They assessed me and determined that I was having a panic attack due to anxiety. So they prescribed me anxiety medication and sent me on my way. The problem was that I wasn't anxious about anything, well, other than the fact that I couldn't breathe. And so I went home, I did my own research at home, and found the source of the issue to be essentially heartburn, which in some cases could mimic symptoms of shortness of breath. So really what I needed was antacids and not an anxiety medication. So that was a bad experience. But I've also had good experiences. So, for example, the mental health provider I'm currently working with has been wonderful. She makes it feel like she's hearing me. I can speak openly without feeling like I'm being judged, even when some of what I have to say is pretty messed up stuff. So in today's episode, I want to look at the VA healthcare system and provide tips and resources to help you navigate the system more effectively. I'll talk about some of the types of healthcare services that are available, how to enroll in VA healthcare, and how to access care in a timely manner. We'll also provide information on how to find and use community care and other resources that can supplement the VA care. So whether you're a veteran who has already accessed VA healthcare, you're a loved one of a veteran who needs help accessing VA healthcare, or you're someone who is considering enrolling in VA healthcare, this episode will hopefully provide you with the information that will help you to navigate the VA healthcare system a little bit more effectively. So many veterans may not even be familiar with how the VA healthcare system works. So let me break it down for you. The Department of Veteran Affairs is responsible for providing healthcare services to eligible veterans. VA healthcare is available to anyone who served in the active military, naval, or air service and were discharged or released under conditions other than dishonorable. So current and former members of the reserves or National Guard who are called to active duty, other than for training only, by a federal order and completed the full period that they were called or ordered to active duty, may also be eligible for VA healthcare. Most veterans who enlisted after September 1980 or entered active duty after October of 81 must have served 24 continuous months or the full period that they were called to active duty to be eligible. So this minimum duty requirement may not apply to veterans who were discharged for a disability that was incurred or aggravated in the line of duty. They were discharged for a hardship or received an early out. Since there are a number of other exceptions to the minimum duty requirements, the VA encourages veterans to apply in order to determine their enrollment eligibility. Veterans who served in a theater of operations after November 11th, 1998 are eligible for an extended period of eligibility for healthcare for 5 years after their discharge. Combat veterans who enroll with the VA under this Enhanced Combat Veteran Authority will continue to be enrolled even after their enhanced eligibility period ends, although they may be shifted to a lower priority group. And I'll talk about priority groups in a little bit, depending on their income level. They may also be required to make co-payments, and for care that's not related to their combat service, co-payments may be required depending on their financial assessment and other special eligibility factors. Again, the VA encourages all veterans to apply to determine their eligibility. And since there are a lot of conditions that could be confusing to figure out on your own, it could be better to just apply and see if you're eligible. Now, once a veteran has been deemed eligible, they can enroll in the VA healthcare and get access to a wide range of medical services, including preventative care, primary care, specialty care. It also covers mental health care, prosthetics, and medical equipment, and other things like that. The VA healthcare is delivered through a nationwide network of VA medical centers, outpatient clinics, and community-based clinics all across the country. The nice thing about that is if you are a dual resident in different locations or you travel a lot, there's always a VA facility somewhere near where you are. The VA healthcare system also partners with private healthcare providers to offer care that the VA can't provide or when veterans are unable to access VA facilities. Veterans can schedule appointments at VA healthcare facilities or request care through telehealth services, which allow them to receive care remotely. I've been doing all of my mental health appointments remotely through telehealth, so I can do them from the comfort of my home, just as if I was doing a Zoom meeting with a colleague. And it's almost as if you're in the same room with the provider. As I mentioned earlier, VA healthcare also offers urgent care and emergency services. So it's important to note that not all veterans are eligible for VA healthcare, and eligibility can depend on factors like the length of their service, their discharge status, their income level. But even veterans who may not be eligible for VA healthcare can still receive some benefits and services through the VA. And since the answer to can I get VA healthcare benefits is it depends, I know it's clear as mud, it usually is best to just apply if you haven't already to see for yourself if you're eligible. If you're a veteran and you have any questions about your eligibility or how to enroll, check out the VA website or contact your local VA facility, and they should be able to help point you in the right direction for that. Through the VA healthcare system, veterans have access to a wide range of services that are tailored to their specific needs. Some of the primary healthcare services that are available include primary care, like preventative care, health screenings, medical treatment for illnesses or injuries. Mental health services for veterans include things like counseling, therapy, and treatment for conditions like PTSD and depression, other things like that. The other services that are available through the VA include like specialty care, like cardiology, oncology, orthopedics, as well as women's health services, provides rehab services and extended care services for veterans like physical therapy and occupational therapy and even long-term care. Choosing a primary care provider and scheduling appointments with the VA can sometimes be a challenge, but there are things that you can do to make the process a little bit easier. First, when you reach out to the VA and get enrolled, you'll likely get assigned to a primary care provider. And while you may not know much about that provider before your first appointment, you'll likely get a feel for them after you first meet. If you don't think that the provider is a good fit for you, you can always request a different provider. You may know other veterans in your area who use a certain provider. They may like them, and you can ask them who their provider is and request from the VA to be transferred to that provider if you think that that'll be a good fit for you. Now, there's no guarantee that you'll be transferred to that provider or that you'll get the provider that you requested, since you don't know that provider's schedule, their availability, how many patients they have already. You know, you don't know any of these things, so it's possible that you don't get access to this provider. But it's worth a try if you feel like the provider that you have is not good for you. Once you have a provider, you can schedule appointments online through My Healthy Vet, which is a website that you can log into. And you can also call the VA facility where they work to schedule. Now, when you get an appointment time, the VA will send you about roughly 8,000 notifications reminding you of your appointment date, time, and location. Personally, I think it's overwhelming. If you have a lot of appointments scheduled, it can be too much, seriously, especially if you have weekly appointments like with a mental health provider, or if you have multiple things going on at the same time, you can be getting information overload. They send it to you, text message, email, paper, snail mail. Sometimes they'll send appointments. So they send them so many times, but it may be good if you don't have your life in order and you need to get those constant reminders. Personally, I just put it on a calendar and I kind of ignore a lot of those messages. Some providers, though, have a no-show or reschedule policy where they won't reschedule with you if you frequently miss your appointments. So if you need to cancel or reschedule your appointment, do it with as much advance notice as possible. I had a conflict once with a mental health appointment. I was traveling for work. Unexpected trip came up, and I sent a message to my provider as soon as I found out, requesting that we cancel the appointment and resume on our regularly scheduled appointments the following week. She didn't have any problem with that. So we skipped that week, picked up back where we left off the following week. And I know that's not a primary care provider, but really the same idea applies. While the VA healthcare system is intended to serve veterans, it's not without its challenges. One of the most common complaints, myself included, from veterans is long wait times for appointments. It can be frustrating, but there are ways to make the process a little bit smoother. My personal experience with this is that I went to my primary care provider at the beginning of January to get help with a back and neck injury from my time in the Army. She scheduled an MRI, which if I went through the VA would have taken 2 months to get an appointment. Instead, they referred me to community care, and I got the appointment booked within about 2 weeks. Still a bit of a wait, but not quite as bad. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be seen by the orthopedic specialist for about a month after that appointment, so there was a bit of a wait there. It turns out that the MRI I had was only ordered for one part of my back, so I had to go in for another MRI. Again, that was about 2 weeks or so after I got the orders from the specialist that I was referred to. Again, I went to the same community care provider. If you're following the timeline, the first appointment was at the beginning of January, and the second MRI was in the beginning of March. So 2 months without a treatment plan. At the end of March, I had another appointment with a neck pain specialist who referred me to physical therapy. Now we're getting somewhere. In order to do physical therapy, though, I needed to attend what they called spine school, which is a virtual class, which I couldn't get into until about 3 weeks later. Only then could I schedule an evaluation for physical therapy. Now, if you're keeping track, we're now at the end of April after all of this. So if I went through the VA for physical therapy, the earliest appointment would have been at the end of June. Instead, I was, again, referred to community care, which got me an appointment in mid-May. Again, not great, definitely not ideal, but this is an example of two things. One, the wait time at the VA is terribly long. Nobody is denying that. So schedule appointments well in advance if you can. And two, community care will cut the amount of time that you have to wait for an appointment if it's available. So the VA will offer community care alternatives to veterans in cases where the VA can't schedule an appointment with one of two things, drive times to the facility or how long you have to wait before that appointment. So if drive times are 30 minutes or more for a primary care or mental health care or 60 minutes for specialty care to a VA facility offering these services, they'll offer you the option to go to community care. Or if the appointment can't be made within 20 days for primary care, mental health care, or 28 days for specialty care at a VA facility, they will refer you to community care. Also, if the referring physician believes that the local community care is in the best interest of the veteran, then the veteran can qualify for community care. So if the VA is not the best equipped to handle whatever it is that you're dealing with, then maybe referring you out to community care might be the best option. Another challenge that veterans may face is the lack of communication or coordination between different healthcare providers, especially if you're seeing providers outside of the VA system. One thing I do whenever using community care providers is to always request a copy of any records of the appointment. So when I got my MRIs, I requested a CD with the images that were taken. That way, if the community care provider didn't forward them to my doctor, I can hand them the CD when I went to my appointment. The same idea goes for any other type of appointment where you may need to provide records to your VA doctor. Now, I want to share some resources that are available to help veterans with their healthcare needs. So first, it's important to know that every VA medical center has a patient advocate who can assist you with any concerns or questions that you may have. These advocates are there to help ensure that the veterans receive the best care possible. If you ever have any concerns or questions about your care or the care of a loved one, if you're a caretaker, the first step, talk to the treatment team, your doctors, nurses, pharmacists, therapists, other healthcare providers that you are working with. They're there to help you. They want to help you. If you feel like your concerns are not being addressed, don't hesitate to reach out to a VA patient advocate. They're there to listen to your feedback and help you find a solution. They can assist you filing for, finding a different provider, finding the right resources and other things to address the concerns that you might have. There are also a lot of online resources that are available to veterans, such as the VA website. There's a ton of information on the VA website. You just need to kind of poke around and know where to look. My Health eVet, which I believe I mentioned earlier in the episode, and the Veterans Crisis Line, which you can reach by dialing 988 and pressing 1. My Health eVet, which I mentioned earlier, allows veterans to access their health records, refill prescriptions, view and manage upcoming appointments, and communicate with their healthcare providers online. It's actually a pretty good system when it works. Lately, I've been having trouble accessing it, and I know I'm not the only one because when I tried to log in, I saw a warning message on the login screen when I was logging in. So I know, and it was referring to the fact that you couldn't log in. So I knew that they knew about this problem. But when you're able to access it, you can do quite a bit with it. You can view your entire medical file, which includes things like notes made by your providers, lab results, diagnosis, other information that might be relevant to your care. If you've been prescribed a medication, you can see how many refills that you have left and order a refill online. The VA will then send you your medication through the mail. I found that it can take up to a week to get medications delivered. So be sure that you order the refill with enough time so that you don't run out of your current supply of whatever the medication is, especially if it's one of those critical medications like heart medication or something like that, that you need to have a consistent supply of. Otherwise, bad things happen. So you definitely want to keep up on that and make sure that you have enough and get that in time. Another part of My Health eVet is a secure message portal. It's basically like email, but instead of the message being sent to your actual email inbox, you get a notification in your email inbox that you have a message waiting for you in the secure message portal. And in this portal, your provider can send you a message about things like test results, answer questions about your health. And my mental health provider sends me assignments for me to complete before an next session. You can even request an appointment with a provider if you need one through the portal. The thing I don't like about the portal is that you never send a message directly to the provider. There's no option for that. Even if you reply to their message that they sent to you, it doesn't get directly sent to that provider. Instead, it gets routed through a scheduler or an assistant who directs a message to where it needs to go. So if you're replying to a message from your provider, they'll typically forward it to that provider unless it needs to go someplace else. If you're requesting an appointment with a provider or rescheduling, the scheduler will check that provider's availability and contact you to schedule the appointment. It definitely isn't a perfect system, but it does provide a pretty good job at keeping your private medical information private. That's the one thing I do really like about it. Personally, I don't really care too much about my private medical information getting out in public because I pretty much talk about it on the show all the time anyway. So I really don't care, but other people may. You don't have to worry about having your medical records or other private medical information sent to your email inbox, which may be your work email. And you may not want your employer to see some of the stuff going on in your medical file. Or maybe it's a shared inbox with a spouse or somebody else in your family that maybe you don't want them to see everything that's going on. You may not want others to see what your provider has to say or see what you say to the provider. So the secure message portal takes care of that problem. Unless they're, you know, taking your login and logging into your account, they're not going to be able to see that. And so, you know, your boss really has no need to be able to get into that. You know, just you don't share that login with anybody that you don't want to see that information. Another resource that can be helpful to veterans is the VA caregiver support program. So this is it's helpful for the veterans, but it's more helpful for the people who are at home providing care to them. This program provides resources and support for the caregivers of veterans, including family members, friends, or other people who provide care for veterans with disabilities. Maybe it's an injury, a chronic illness, or other things like that. If you're a caregiver, you play a super important role in the veterans' care team. While you may not be a medical professional yourself, you are the frontline worker who's there working with this veteran. And the VA wants to make sure that you have the support and resources that you need to provide the best possible care to your veteran. The VA Caregiver Support Program offers a wide range of services like education and training, counseling and support, and other types of care. Education and training can help you learn more about the role that you play as a caregiver and how you provide the best possible care for your loved one. Counseling and support can provide emotional support and help you cope with the challenges of being a caregiver. And there's respite care that can provide a break for caregivers, giving you time to rest and recharge and recuperate. To be eligible for the VA Caregiver Support Program, you have to be caring for a veteran who's enrolled in the VA healthcare system and who has a serious injury, illness, or disability related to their military service. The veteran must also meet certain eligibility requirements, like first off, being enrolled in the healthcare system and having a service-connected disability. So make sure that those things are in place first before checking out that program. Now, if you're a caregiver, I encourage you to explore the support program and take advantage of the resources and support that it provides. You can find out more about the program by visiting the VA Caregiver Support website or contacting the Caregiver Support line at 1-855-260-3274. Now, if you're having difficulty navigating through the VA healthcare system, the Veterans Health Administration's Office of Patient-Centered Care provides a patient advocacy tracking and reporting system to help you with any issues or concerns that you may have. So there's that resource available to you as well. Now that we've covered some of those services and resources that are available through the VA healthcare system, let's talk about how veterans can apply for these benefits. The first step, I mentioned this earlier, is to determine if you're eligible for VA healthcare. But to recap what we talked about, in order to be eligible, you have to have served in the active military, naval or air service, and received a discharge other than dishonorable. So as long as you were not dishonorably discharged, probably good to go. Current and former members of the reserves or National Guard who were called to active duty, other than for training purposes, like basic training, by a federal order and completed the full period that they were called or ordered to active duty, may also be eligible for VA healthcare. You have to meet certain service and income requirements. The VA healthcare system doesn't have a strict income limit for enrollment. It's not like if you make over X amount, you're now ineligible. But they do use a system called priority groups, which I mentioned earlier, to determine who gets access to certain benefits. So priority group one includes veterans with service-connected disabilities, former prisoners of war, people who have received Purple Heart. These veterans are eligible for the most comprehensive benefits and will not have to pay any out-of-pocket costs. Priority group two includes veterans with lower incomes and those who have a service-connected disability rating of 30% or higher. These veterans may have to pay some out-of-pocket costs, but they will still have access to a wide range of healthcare services. Priority group three includes veterans with incomes above the VA's national income threshold and below your local geographic income threshold. These veterans may have to pay copays for some services. And then priority groups four through eight include veterans with higher incomes and those who do not have a service-connected disability. These veterans may have to pay higher copays and have access to more limited set of benefits. It's important to point out that while income is a factor in determining your priority group, it's not the only factor. Other things like your service history, disability status, medical needs also play a role. You can check your eligibility on the VA website or contacting your local VA facility. Again, it's going to depend on your own situation to determine how eligible you are in that priority group. Once you determine that eligibility, you can apply for the VA healthcare benefits online, by mail, or in person at your local VA facility. The online application is probably the easiest. It's available on the VA website. The paper application can be downloaded from the VA website and mailed in. And you can also apply in person at any VA healthcare facility. This may be more helpful if you need help filling out forms or you're not sure what to do and how to fill some of those things out. So you may be able to get some assistance there. When applying, you'll need to provide information about your military service, your income, any health insurance that you might have. You also need to provide your social security number and other personal information. After you submitted your application, it's going to get reviewed by the VA, and they may contact you for additional information or to schedule a medical evaluation. Now, once your eligibility is confirmed, you're enrolled in the VA healthcare system and assigned to a primary care provider. We talked about that process a little bit earlier. While the VA healthcare benefits cover many medical services, they don't cover everything. Some veterans may be required to pay copays or other fees for certain services. It's also important to keep your information up to date with the VA, as changes in income or health insurance coverage may affect your eligibility for VA benefits. Managing your health can be challenging, especially when navigating the VA healthcare system. First tip here is to be an active participant in your healthcare. I think this goes whether or not you are enrolled in VA healthcare or not. Be an active participant in your healthcare. Ask questions from your providers. Share your concerns. Be involved in the decision-making process regarding your healthcare. Next, keep track of your medical records and your appointments. I already talked about how many different notifications you get, but get a calendar, put your appointments in there, and stick to it. Your medical records, keep a copy of all of those as well. You can log into My Healthy Vet and download a copy of all of those. We talked about that earlier. You can access all of your medical records, even the notes that your doctors and your providers make about you and the appointments that you had. Through My Healthy Vet, you can schedule appointments and manage upcoming appointments. You can communicate with your healthcare team all online, which is a nice and easy way to do things. When you manage your medical records, or when you access your medical records, I should say, you can download them to your computer. So you always have a copy of these records. You can print them out if you want from home, but you can download them on your computer and you always have a copy of these records. So it's important to have that, especially if you're applying for disability benefits. Maybe you want to go see another doctor to get a second opinion, or you want to see what your provider's diagnosis is for a particular condition that you might have. Take advantage of the preventative care services that they have as well. They offer things like flu shots and cancer screenings, and these services are available to you through the VA and can help detect and prevent serious health problems that you may be developing. I think this is especially important if you are a post 9/11 veteran who served in areas with burn pits. You're going to want to make sure that you get early cancer screenings. You may think that you're too young for certain types of cancer, but I've known several veterans who ended up with cancer in their 30s. One was a guest on the show early on talking about his experiences, and unfortunately, he lost his battle with cancer. But early detection can literally be the difference between life and death when it comes to a diagnosis like that. And finally, be proactive about managing your mental health. That's something that we haven't really talked too much about in this episode, but the VA offers a lot of mental health services like counseling and therapy to help veterans manage their mental health conditions. They cover things like depression and PTSD and a variety of others. I've been using these services, to be perfectly honest, for years now. I've talked about it earlier in several episodes on this show. And while I still deal with PTSD, I'm better off now than if I didn't have any help. I know that's not exactly a glowing review, but while I didn't think I'll ever get back to the person that I once was, and I don't think I ever will be that person again, the experiences that I went through change me, they change everybody when you go through life, right? But the counseling that I've received has helped me to make the best of the hand that I've dealt. It's not perfect. I'm still dealing with things, but it's better than nothing. If you're living with a chronic condition like diabetes or hypertension, arthritis, other things like that, it's important to work closely with your healthcare team to manage your symptoms and improve the quality of your life. So here's how to stay on top of some of these types of things. First off, make sure that you understand your condition and the treatment plan. If you don't understand something, ask your healthcare team to explain the diagnosis that they're providing to you. Explain it in plain English. Ask them to explain it, not medical terms. When I had problems with my back and my neck, the doctor actually took a model of a spine and pointed to places where I was having problems from the MRI and said, this is why this is happening. And she was able to manipulate the spine to make it look like the way my back looked and showed this is why this is happening. So they can explain it in plain English. They can use resources like that spine, that model of a spine that I was telling you, even showing you your imaging records, my MRI and other records like that. If you need to, take notes to record the information that they're providing you. Even bring a recorder. If you have a smartphone, chances are you have a audio recorder. Record it. So that way, if you know that you're going to have problems recalling some of this stuff, or that you're going to need to relay some of this information to somebody else, maybe a different provider, or maybe a caretaker at home who probably should be at the appointment with you, but just in case they're not, record the information. That way they can play it back and listen to it later. But take an active role in your care. What I mean by this is following the treatment plan that the doctors and the providers give to you. Otherwise, not only are you wasting your time, you're wasting the time of the doctors, you're wasting other veterans' time because they have to wait longer to get an appointment because you're taking up this appointment If you're not going to follow the treatment plan that they're offering to you, then why are you going to the doctor? They're giving you the solution. Here's an answer to your problem. Go and do this and you'll get better. If they prescribe you medications, take the medications. They're probably doing it because you need it. If you don't like the way the medications make you feel, or you don't feel that they're effective, talk to them. Let them know, hey, this isn't working for me. Let's try something different. Make healthy lifestyle choices, like eating healthy, exercising regularly, quit smoking if you're a smoker, and things like that. That's just going to be proactive and help you in your overall health journey. It doesn't matter what you're suffering from. All of those things will help you. But learn as much as you can about the medical conditions that you're dealing with and the treatment options that are available. Whether they're through the VA or not, look up other treatment options that, even if they haven't been offered to you, maybe there's something out there that you are eligible for that would help you. Maybe they can refer you to a community provider that will provide this type of service, this type of treatment. Understand the benefits and the potential risks of different treatments that are available to you or that are being offered to you. Some medications, they have side effects. You want to know about those. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. You may not want to deal with some of those side effects. You may be able to make some lifestyle changes that can help improve your health, like quitting smoking, like we talked about. Another important aspect of taking an active role in your care is, like I said before, communicating effectively with your healthcare team. Bring up problems. Be honest about the symptoms that you're experiencing. Be honest about your concerns. Ask questions. Provide feedback on the treatment that you're receiving. Is this working? Is this not working? Let them know, because if you don't say anything, they're going to assume that everything's okay. And you need to bring up things when things are not going right. Also, make sure that you understand the instructions for taking medication. A lot of times they're printed on the bottle, but sometimes the instructions could be a little fuzzy. Maybe you need a little extra information. So make sure you understand what it is that is expected of you as a patient to be taking those medications. And follow up if you have questions. If you feel like something is not going right, let them know. Let your provider know if you're experiencing any new symptoms too. That's, I think, another thing that people don't necessarily think about, but you may be getting care for something. Like, for example, my back and my neck are hurting me, and they causes like a tingling sensation going down my legs, my arms, into my fingers, in my toes. And if I go to physical therapy and I start doing the exercises and it creates more pain, I probably want to let them know about it, because maybe that's not the best course of action for me. So if that treatment plan isn't working for me, I need to let them know. They're not going to know unless I provide them that feedback. So together, you and your provider can work together to make any kind of adjustments to the care that you're receiving. Be proactive. I know none of us, especially guys, none of us like to go to the doctor. Be proactive about scheduling regular checkups, an annual physical. Go in and make sure everything's going in the right direction. Every time I go to get a physical at the VA, they have me go and get my labs done a few days before. They can check my cholesterol. They can check all these different things, different vitamin levels and other stuff in my blood. They check all these things for me, and that just makes sure that I'm on the right track. It's just like a little checkpoint. You may need more frequent than annual checkups. You may need every 6 months. You may even need every 3 months or some other combination of follow-ups. But schedule them and get them on the book regularly. Don't miss them. This can help you catch any potential issues early on and keep whatever conditions you may be experiencing under control. And mental health, we mentioned this earlier, it's just as important as your physical health. And it's important that we pay attention to both the mental and physical health. And while I've saved it for the end of this episode, it doesn't mean that mental health is any less important than the physical health. Unfortunately, mental health issues can oftentimes be stigmatized or dismissed, which can make seeking help for the mental health conditions even more difficult. But there are resources available through the VA healthcare system that can help veterans who are struggling with their mental health issues. First off, for the veterans out there and for the loved ones who are out there who may be dealing with somebody who they suspect has mental health conditions, it's important to recognize when you or someone that you know may be experiencing a mental health issue. Some common signs include changes in mood or behavior, difficulty sleeping, increased anxiety or irritability, loss of interest in activities that they once enjoyed. And if you or somebody that you know are experiencing any of these symptoms, go get help. There's nothing wrong with this. In my personal life, I've experienced all of those symptoms that I just mentioned. I went from a generally happy, friendly person to a pretty angry and irritated person. It's been so long since I've gotten a good night's sleep that I'm starting to think my insomnia should be considered a pre-existing condition. A lack of sleep makes me anxious and irritable. I've lost interest in a lot of the activities that I once enjoyed. It's like being numb to all of those things that once brought me joy. It sucks, and it's not a healthy way to live. So yeah, I definitely went and got some help. I'm still getting help. I'm still dealing with some of these things. It's a journey. It's not a go take this one magic pill and everything's cured. It's going to be a journey. It's going to be difficult, but you got to put the work in. The VA offers a wide range of mental health services to veterans, including individual therapy, group therapy, medications if you need it, support groups. And there's different options that are available for different people. For me, group therapy wouldn't be all that great. I wouldn't feel comfortable talking in a group about some of these issues or listening to other people talking about their issues personally. For other people, a group may be great. There's also specialized services for things like PTSD, the different types of therapies that are available specific for PTSD. Some of them may work great for you. Others may not. I've had varying levels of success with the different treatment options that are out there. They have treatment options for substance abuse and depression. And these services are provided by mental health professionals who are trained to work with veterans. And they may not all have been in combat. They may not have all served. But they've worked with enough combat vets. They've gone through the training. They understand what we're going through. Now, you may say, oh, they haven't been there, so they can't understand. Well, no one has been where you've been. There's nobody, except for you, there's nobody who's been where you've been and done what you've done and experienced what you've experienced. Even someone standing right next to you experienced things different than you've experienced it. So don't dismiss these people just because they haven't put the uniform on, maybe, or that they haven't been in combat. They haven't been shot at. They haven't shot somebody else. They haven't seen their friend get blown up. They haven't done any of these things. Just because they haven't done that doesn't mean that they can't understand what's going on. Provider that I have for my mental health wasn't a veteran, isn't a veteran, never served, but she gets it. She understands and she helps. Sometimes it's better to have a third party objective view on things. And while maybe sometimes she doesn't get exact terminology or things like that correct, so what? Who cares? That stuff's not important. She's able to help me see clearly the issues that I'm going through and helps me to make sense of some of what I'm going through. Some of it is still difficult. And despite her best efforts, I'm still struggling with some of it. But don't dismiss the people just because they maybe haven't served. If you're interested in accessing mental health services through the VA, first step, talk to your primary care provider. They can refer you to a mental health professional within the VA. You can also contact the Veterans Crisis Line by dialing 988, press 1 to speak with a trained professional. The Veterans Crisis Line is available 24/7, and it offers confidential support to veterans in crisis. So 988, it's really easy to remember. It's like the 911. It's just 988. Press 1 to get to the Veterans Crisis Line, and they will help you in a confidential way. It's also important to remember that seeking help for mental health issues is a sign of strength, not weakness. It takes a lot of courage to acknowledge that you need help and take the steps necessary to get the help that you need. The VA healthcare system is there for you. Every step of the way, they're there for you. Let them work for you. As we wrap up this episode, I'm hopeful that you found the information that I've shared to be helpful, informative. But before we go, I wanted to take a moment to remind you of some of the key takeaways from today's episode about VA healthcare. Earlier in the episode, we discussed the benefits of VA healthcare for veterans. We talked about how VA healthcare provides comprehensive, high-quality care for eligible veterans, including primary care, specialty care, mental health care, and others. We then provided tips for navigating the VA healthcare system. We discussed how to choose a primary care provider, how to schedule appointments, and access VA healthcare benefits. We also talked about the income requirements and priority groups for accessing VA healthcare. And finally, we talked about the importance of mental health and the resources available for veterans through VA healthcare. We talked about the Veterans Crisis Line and the importance of taking an active role in your own mental health care. Again, for the listeners, the number for the Veterans Crisis Line is 988, and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line. Before we wrap up today's show, I want to encourage all of the listeners to take action and to utilize the resources that we covered in today's episode, the resources that are available to you. Whether you're a veteran or a family member, the VA healthcare system is here to support you. We've talked about the importance of taking an active role in your healthcare, whether it's scheduling regular checkups, managing chronic conditions, or seeking help for mental health concerns. We also discussed resources that are available to help you navigate the VA healthcare system, like the VA Caregiver Support Program, My Healthy Vet, and the Veterans Crisis Line. So if you or a loved one is in need of support, I'm urging you to go take advantage of these resources. Don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. Remember, you serve your country, and now it's time for the country to serve you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.